What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lauda, what do you got?
All right. So I'm not a huge BTS person, but, you know, they are worldwide. They are the biggest thing.
Super popular.
Exactly. And I think Cap's daughters are fans. But they're about to perform 3 shows in Korea for live and online crowds. They will be performing March 10th, 11th, and 13th. But what caught my eye wasn't the actual performances, but the fact that the March 12th performance will be broadcasted in theaters. Like, obviously, they're going to be performing live for a live audience.
But you can go to a movie theater, yes. Select movie theaters, and that you could see the performance live.
That is so weird to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to explain to you that it's not weird.
Really?
Because there was a time many, 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 many moons ago when I was like a child, right? Like 6, 7 years old, where pay-per-view was such a limited thing that the way to watch pay-per-view events were at movie theaters.
Yeah, closed circuit TV, they called it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like, for me, I would just feel like, man, I'll just catch the other one right at home. I'll live stream it and whatever. I don't have to pay to go to the movie and like parking and whatever. Like, I just feel like that's such an inconvenience to watch a concert.
Yeah, but I think people like going to the movie theaters and like seeing that, experience that with other people, right? I mean, I get it. I wouldn't do it.
Okay, I was going to ask, so then you would do it?
No, I would never.
I would never do it. Never.
Yeah.
And I know what you're talking about, George, because way back in the day, you're right, you know, there was no
pay-per-view. When you were 6 or 7 as well.
Yeah, there was no pay-per-view.
He was like 18.
Dude, there wasn't cable TV, dude.
Right.
Seriously, there was no cable TV, so.
Well, I don't remember not having cable TV, but but I remember even then, there was only like 30 channels.
I don't remember it either. It's just that's what I was told.
People told me that
there was no cable TV at one time in the world, I think. Yeah.
Do you remember Black and White, too?
That was his jam, bruh.
I don't even know what that is, Black and White.
Leave It to Beaver. You're a big fan of Leave It to Beaver?
No, I don't even know what that
Bewitched.
Means.
Bewitched. Yeah. But
Beverly Hillbillies, but I don't know what you're talking about.
I remember very vaguely, like growing up as a kid, right? I loved wrestling as a kid. And I remember the like WrestleMania 1 or 2, you would have to go to like an arena or like a movie theater to watch it because it was on pay-per-view, because pay-per-view didn't exist on cable yet. Or at least they hadn't figured out how to do that yet. And then shortly thereafter, maybe like a couple years later, you were able to get it through your cable subscriber. You'd have to call, and then they would add it to like one of the channels. They'd give you like a channel just for the day that you could click on to watch it or whatever. But yeah, I remember that. I also remember as a kid, you know, renting movies from video stores, even pre-Blockbuster, like a mom
VHS
and pop
tapes,
place where I would go and because I didn't go to like the movie theater. My parents weren't taking me to watch wrestling at a movie theater. They were like, wrestling, that crap is fake. I would rent the videos of WrestleMania and WrestleMania 2 or whatever it was, and watch the VHS tapes later with like my buddies.
Dude, I really resent when you say that wrestling's fake, and that your parents said that. And I remember exactly where I was when I was 13 years old. I saw Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, take on Harley Race in a steel cage loser leave town match at the Hollywood Sportatorium, brother. And after that night, my uncle said to me, he goes, well, you know, it's all fake, right? And I went, hold on. What? What did you just say?
Yeah.
Uncle Larry? And he said, it's fake. I'm like, no, it's not, man. I saw Dusty Rhodes. His face was all bloody and gnarly from the fence. Don't say that, man.
I think the difference between fake and I think we've learned now that it's scripted. Like those guys literally take very much a physical toll, right?
Yeah, yeah. But. Hey, so this BTS concert in a movie theater, not going, would never go. Because I have a question: can I get up and dance? Because I don't know, like a movie theater is comfortable for you know movies, but I don't see myself standing up in a movie theater in between my chair and the next chair and being able to get down the way I need to.
I mean, you do it at an arena, don't you?
Yeah, why not? My nephew, I take him to every movie, like every kid's movie, and he always jumps out of his seat and starts dancing every time.
Really? Is there enough room if I wanted to get down?
Well, especially now, like these fancy movie theaters, there's plenty of room.
Go out into the aisles if you need to.
Yeah, but I'm saying you do it at a concert or an arena, and there's way less room.
Well, you know, you might be right on that, but I still don't see myself seeing a concert in a movie theater.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. All right, that is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. So here's the thing. In the open, Chris referred to me being wrong about LeBron. And I mean, I was for one night. There's no question about that. But the conversation you and I were having yesterday, Cap, if you remember, was like, it's unfair to ask LeBron night in and night out, especially right now during the dog days of February, to carry them every night. Like,
well, that's
offensively,
what you said. That's what you said.
Right. You didn't disagree with me, though.
No, I do disagree with you.
Okay. You think it's what should be asked of him at 37 years old?
Correct.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
Because he's LeBron James.
Okay.
So when LeBron James puts on a basketball uniform and goes out on the floor, my expectation, because if I'm Jeannie Buss or I'm Rob Pelinka, or even if I'm LeBron James, my expectation is that's the best player on the floor. That's the guy who's going to carry us to victory.
Right. And you know what happened when the last time a team like this, you know, the Lakers had a team like this with Dwight Howard and Steve Nash and all that, Kobe Bryant did all that and then tore his Achilles at the end of the season.
Okay, that's a way to put a damper on things. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, all I'm saying to you is he was getting up in age and he had too much to do. Yeah, you said we were having a conversation. I was on the receiving end of your harangue, which was you yelling and screaming about how LeBron James cannot be expected at 37 years old to go up and down the floor the way he used to. That was your argument.
Yeah.
And my argument is that's LeBron James. And so if he got on a uniform, I expect him to do exactly what you said he couldn't do.
Yeah, I'm impressed you even knew what the word harangue meant. Did you look that up before the show?
I didn't, but I felt like it's one word that I have a grasp of that's kind of smart sounding. And you've broken out today apple
apoplectic
plates. What?
Apoplectic.
Yeah. So I figured, you know what? I'm going to try and break out something fancy along the way, and it just happened to come out of my mouth.
It was good. Good usage of it. You actually used it properly as well. I'm impressed.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you.
But we've seen this movie before. Team that allegedly has a lot of talent, team that disappoints, team all of a sudden goes on a run because the best player on the planet, arguably at the time, goes on a crazy run, even though they're up in age, and then bad thing happens.
Let me ask you this, and maybe I'm just being way, way, way too naive and optimistic at the same time, okay? Mm-hmm. Is there any way that the Lakers, this late in the season, with Anthony Davis hurt yet again, is there any way they could change what they do from a X's and O's execution, style of play that they have based on the players that they have? Is there anything they could do?
What do you mean? I mean, offensively, maybe. Defensively, I feel like they've tried everything and nothing works.
Okay, so this is a good thing. I'm glad you're saying this.
Yeah.
So here's the thing.
Maybe.
If you can't play defense, you know what the best thing you could do would be?
Score a lot of points.
Right. Outscore everybody. Right. Yeah. So what I'm getting at is this.
You don't want them to play any defense.
Right. I want them to play an all-star game every night.
You want them to be the 7 seconds or less Phoenix Suns.
Right. I want them to score 160 points.
But you want Frank Vogel to coach like Mike D'Antoni?
I want LeBron to say to Russ and to Dwight and to Carmelo and to Austin Reeves, shout out to Austin Reeves coming up clutch again last night. Hey, guys, we're picking up the pace, okay? We're going to play the way Russ prefers to play, and we're going to go fast, and we're going to play transition basketball. And you know what? Since we suck on defense, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to outscore everybody. Now, I have no way of possibly installing the game plan, just so we're all clear here. I know. Yeah.
By the way, I mean, how much more do you want them to pick up the pace? They're second in the NBA in pace.
I want them to get to first. That's my answer.
I mean, there's not a huge difference between them and the Charlotte Hornets, who are first.
Oh. Well, look, George, I'm not sure you understand this about my resume, but I have a very distinguished career as a 3-time back-to-back-to-back championship coach of Jewish Community Center basketball back in the mid-90s. I don't know if you know this about me or not.
Mm-hmm. No, I did not know that. No. Yeah. I've learned a lot about you over the years. But not
so
that.
While I have also a very distinguished career as a Little League baseball manager, okay, very distinguished, there's a lot of coaching DNA inside of me. However, in this particular instance, I'm not saying this is what you do. I'm asking the question of Frank Vogel. If you don't have AD, but this is what you got, is there anything you can do stylistically to get better? Because three guys that weren't playing well together, and one of them's gone. So what can you do? Can you come up with anything smart?
No, not really.
No. That's it. It's over. It's over.
I kind of told you yesterday they weren't going to win the championship.
I'm trying to be optimistic. Do you not hear this? I said I could be naive. I could be optimistic.
Yeah. I mean, the Lakers are 23rd in offense this year.
See, that's a lot of room for improvement. Guys, we have to be top five in offense because we're going to outscore everybody because we can't play defense.
Right, but you want them to outpace everyone, and they're practically there and still not scoring. If anything, maybe you slow it down. But then that does not play to Russ's style. He's not a half-court player. So my problem is that there is nothing you can do because the roster is mismatched. Well, like, if you told me Russ wasn't playing, like, if you told me Russ was unavailable and AD was playing, and you told me I could surround LeBron and AD with a bunch of shooters, which they have some of those, like, and that we would slow down the pace and just play more half court, and occasionally run when necessary, of course, because you have LeBron, he likes to run, I would feel better about it, because if you surround LeBron with a bunch of shooters, good things generally happen.
Wow, you have painted a very dark picture here today, George.
I'm painting a very realistic picture, which LeBron for one night was able to push back on it because he's LeBron freaking James, to your point. But I just don't know if over the span of, I don't know, how many games are left in the season?
Let's see here.
25 games or whatever it is?
Let's see. They've played,
give or
they've
take.
Played 58 games so far. So they're going to play, oh my God, I'm going to try and do math live on the air. I'm going to say 24 games.
Yeah, 24 games.
Did I get it right?
I was close. Yeah. 24.
Wow.
So over 24 games, I'm going to give you the number, okay? The number they have to hit for me to feel confident, okay? Confident is a key word here, all right? We'll do that on the other side.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That was a good show.
It was a good show.
I know it was a good show.
By the way, the Rams put on a good show this year, and I want to get to back to the Lakers in a second. So I asked my 7-year-old, hey, do you want like some championship gear like from the Rams or whatever? And she likes tie-dye. She's into tie-dye right now. So I went to Fanatics, which is like, you know, the website where you can get all the apparel and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I ordered a shirt, like a Rams shirt, a championship Super Bowl champion tie-dye shirt or whatever.
Does Royal it say like Bowl. Whose house, Rams house on it?
No, I don't know. I think it just says like Super Bowl champions or whatever. So I ordered it and I just figured, oh, you know, it'll be here in a couple days or whatever. And I just looked. I was like, man, it's been
March.
A couple days. Having it, March 7th.
Yep. Come on.
Yep.
Yeah.
I order a hat, a shirt, and a beanie, but it said March 7th for my hat, and it's already being shipped. So I think they're just kind of giving you that time frame.
Yeah.
And then they're going to ship it earlier, I hope.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's a long time. Like, I want to wear it now.
I know,
yeah.
Right?
So I know the Fanatics people a little bit, and I asked them before the game, like, what was it like? And they said the Bengals stuff was insane. Like, it was like they couldn't replenish it fast enough because, you know, it had been 30 years, basically, since they had been in this situation. They've been so bad, right? Like, it's just a crazy run. But now, apparently, everybody's buying Rams gear now. So
that's
I should
cool.
just call my buddy and be like, hey, how can you help
right.
me get the shirt faster?
Go into his website and you're buying this stuff when you can call your pal and he'll ship it
no,
right to
but
you?
I'm not that guy. I'm not looking for a freebie.
Oh, okay.
It's a business.
I understand.
So
I got
I'm
it.
Willing to. I'm okay paying. Like,
okay.
I'm fine with that.
Well, then maybe you should have called him and said, hey, listen, I'm willing to pay. Can you just speed it
right.
up?
Right. Can you just speed it up a little bit?
Right. You know? Yeah. So is this all like connected to the supply chain, or is this like no the Rams won? We have to hurry
no,
up and
print
this stuff
up. No, this is more
up.
Like the Rams won, and everybody's okay. yeah, wants the thing.
Because right. the supply yeah. chain thing, I yeah. flew about 2 weeks ago to Mammoth, and when you fly over Long Beach, this is as you're heading north.
Yeah, you see
before,
all the stuff in the port,
right,
or whatever.
You see like tons of ships down there, and I'm like, okay, maybe this is this whole supply chain thing everybody's talking about. They can't even get these ships in.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. I also think not to get too far into this, but post-COVID, what happened was people wanted to start spending again and buying stuff. And that part of it, the demand, is what became overwhelming to the supply chain. It's really less about COVID these days. That's a very simplistic way to describe it. There's way more detail and nuance to it. But that's probably the easiest way I could describe
well,
it.
Well, let me tell you something funny about this real quick. So I went into a furniture store recently. George, I'm not joking around. Have you guys been in a furniture store? I haven't been in a furniture store
in
like 30 years.
Not a long time.
I mean, I'm telling you.
Literally, my wife ordered, we had to order like furniture for something, and she just ordered it online.
Yeah, right. I'm not joking around when I tell you I haven't been in a furniture store in like 20 years, okay?
But did you go and like lay on every bed when you went go to the furniture store or no?
This most recently?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't laying on beds because I wasn't looking for beds, but I did sit on some couches, but I really wasn't even looking for couches either. But yeah. I did sit on a few. Here's the thing. I walk in. This store's got to be like 200,000 square feet, right? And there's millions and millions of dollars worth of furniture on the floor. So right. I find some things. I'm like, okay, I like that. I like that. I like that. The lady goes, yeah, okay. That I can get to you by April 5th. That I can get to you by like May. I'm like, wait. You got all this stuff all over the place? And nothing is available? She's like, right.
But you wouldn't want the floor sample, do
no,
you?
No, no, no.
Sitting on it like you.
No, no. My point is, though, is that
Cap,
they have...
Most furniture is like that, though.
Yeah, yeah, that even in a regular situation.
Oh, because
like
they
that,
got
yeah.
all this stuff. They got nothing they can sell you. So we were, like, joking about it. Like, so all this stuff is here, and I like this and this and this, but none of it is for sale.
Yeah, but the last time I did that, okay, so yeah. when I moved to Connecticut, right, when mm-hmm. I lived in Connecticut when I first got hired by ESPN almost 10 years ago, I went to a furniture store to buy stuff there. Like, and even back then, like 2013, it took weeks.
Wow.
To get it.
I didn't know this cause I never go shopping for anything. I never buy yeah. anything really, yeah. unless it's on Amazon. And so what happened was they wound up delivering like, I don't know, 60% of the stuff that I bought. And then I call the lady, I go, hey, so the original date that you were supposed to schedule this, is that when the rest of the stuff is coming? She's like, yeah. oh, no, that stuff won't be there until like the end of March. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
yeah.
the reality.
It's on back order.
But that's normal. Like, no, even.
Yeah.
Know.
Last time I bought a bed and a couch, I want to say like maybe 5 or so years ago. Same thing. You go, if it's you know, a situation where you buy it in the furniture store or even buying it online, like both cases, they have to, because, you know, they have to schedule delivery and all that stuff. So, like, I bought a lot of my furniture at, like, bigger box stores because you get it quicker.
Yeah. Mm. So, we were wrapping up a conversation about, you said to me, is there anything the Lakers can do to change their style, approach, or whatever? I just think that Russ is such an odd fit that I don't think they can do that with him on this roster. Like, you know, if you put LeBron around shooters, he's going to be fine. And, you know, so, like, AD going down really hurts them on a number of fronts, obviously. But, yeah, I this roster's just really mismatched, Cap.
But you,
just to
but
kind
you
of
said,
that
let's just go back to the beginning of all this, though. When Russ got here, do you remember the original conversation was, LeBron is so smart
that he can make anyone work.
Right. So
well,
now,
clearly we've learned that is not the case, that there is an outlier to every situation.
Or maybe it's just that LeBron and AD were trying to, as you described yesterday, which I always love this way, I like this analogy, you cannot put a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
So maybe LeBron and AD were trying to put Russ, the square peg, into the round hole. Couldn't do it.
So you want him to put him into a square peg, a square hole.
Well, what I'm thinking is, thinking that now LeBron looks at AD and says, look, that's probably not a two-week injury, number one. And even if he is able to come back 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now, can we really count on the guy? We can't right now. His body's not holding up. So here's what I think I should do. Mm-hmm. How can I get the best out of Russ? And if I get the best out of Russ and I make everybody else around us work off of his strengths,
no,
then we can play a different style. And maybe our roster is better for that style.
Yeah, so what you want them to, look, the way Russ works, and I kind of alluded to this yesterday, I think Russ is best suited if he has the ball in his hands and basically he's playing like old school Allen Iverson, Philadelphia 76ers got to the finals ball, where it's him doing all the heavy lifting, making all the decisions, good or bad, and, you know, everyone else just playing a role and a part. And you can't, that doesn't work. Like, could LeBron do it? Sure. I also don't think Russell Westbrook is not Allen Iverson anymore, or he isn't even Russell Westbrook anymore. Like, he's not Allen Iverson either. So, like, at this stage. But that's, like, the best case scenario for Russ, and even that team in today's NBA is probably not a playoff team.
All right, so listen,
now you add LeBron to that roster. Are they a playoff team? Probably, but not a good one.
Okay.
Like, that style of basketball is not going to work.
Okay, but you got 24 games to go here, right?
Now, let me ask you a question. Yeah. That's like saying, would you put Drew Brees in an offense that you want to throw the ball down the field all the time? Or would you want Drew Brees in an offense where he's going to pick you apart with his accuracy?
I would probably want to put Drew Brees in the accuracy side of things, but here's the thing. Let's make a different analogy. Let's say Matthew Stafford gets hurt in a Rams game, and let's say now you got to bring in John Wolford. He's the backup quarterback.
The Wolf.
But his skill set is different. He doesn't have the arm that Stafford has.
He runs a little bit, yeah.
Okay? He's got a different skill set. So now I'm Sean McVay, all three phases of the game, man. I'm grateful for you all. I'm all three phases. So now I'm Sean McVay, and I've got to say, how do I adjust what I do based on who's running my system? So if now AD's out, and I'm going to experiment over the next 24 games, because, George, what do I have to lose? So I would say this. If the best way to get the most out of Russ is to give him the ball, let him make the decisions, and everybody else just kind of work around him.
No, bro.
Go try it for a game or two.
Bad decisions. Well, they've tried that already this year. No, they did. They tried that when LeBron was playing center, when AD was out. And that people were marveling at LeBron, putting up great numbers playing center, but there weren't that many wins.
All right. Well, don't play LeBron at center. Play Dwight at center. Have LeBron work off of Russ. And for the next 5 games, we might as well try it, because guess what? We're 27-31, and we stink. So let's try something else. We got this guy. We're paying him $45 million. No. How do we get the best from him?
So you'd rather get the best from him and not get the best out of LeBron, who is still clearly the better player?
Yeah, but let's see what happens when you
Here's
let
what
Russ
will happen.
Loose.
They'll lose more games.
Well, then who cares? Because they're not very
good
now.
No, but then you're out of the playoffs. You want to miss the playoffs completely? Like, not
what do
even
I
want
to do? I want to get to the playoffs and get knocked out in the first round?
I mean, it's better than not making the playoffs.
It's embarrassing either way.
Not making the playoffs is worse. Like, do you think LeBron wants – I mean, he doesn't want a first-round exit for sure on his resume. He's only had one.
Time out. I just want to say, one time – 2015 or 2017, when the Cavs lost in the finals, he said, I would rather not make the playoffs at all than lose in the finals. He did say that. I don't know if he meant it, but he said
but
that.
It's easy to say that when you're getting to the finals every year. I don't believe that for one second.
Well,
not one
I'll tell
second.
You this. I'll tell you this.
Not even a millisecond. A nanosecond.
I kind of believe it, because if you think about like all the energy that he has to exert into the playoffs, like
no way. No way. Not after not coming off a first round exit.
Well, I mean, like, not even making the playoffs at all. Period.
Right. But he's saying that as he's going to the finals
year. You're right. You're right.
Okay,
yes.
But right
not
now
as coming off a first round embarrassment.
If I'm LeBron, I'd rather not be in the playoffs than get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, because you know what? Getting knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, just more wear and tear on the body. You know what? Let's get this season over with. Let's try and figure out what we're going to do with this roster, and then we'll come back and regroup again for next
year. I mean, maybe, but I think he's too competitive for that. All right, let's go to Radio Tinder. We'll continue this conversation after that.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Linz, what do you got?
All right, so Brock's, the candy company, is switching things up this year with something that you're not used to finding in your Easter basket. They have introduced new late-night taco truck jelly beans. Sounds delicious, right?
Late-night taco truck jelly beans.
Mm-hmm. So their new candy includes 6 different flavors that were inspired by food and drinks that you'd find at a taco truck. Mm-hmm. Margaritas. Churro, I'll say the Americanized version because
no, you were doing really well.
I don't
with
want
your
you guys to make fun of me.
Margaritas.
No, you were doing good.
Yeah.
Churros.
Churros.
Salsa. Guacamole.
Guacamole.
Beef tacos.
Beef taco.
Horchata? Is that how you say that?
Horchata. It's silent is H is silent.
Okay, so that was my Spanish lesson for the day. Horchata. Nice. Mm-hmm. Would you guys ever try these taco-inspired jelly beans? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe left. I hate jelly beans. It's pretty simple. So there you go.
I'm going to swipe right. I also hate jelly beans, but the horchata one sounds kind of interesting to me, so I'll give it a try.
Yeah, my kids love jelly beans. I hate them.
How do you hate jelly beans? That's a weird thing to hate.
Let me tell you why I hate jelly beans. I hate the texture. When you bite on them and they got that little crunchy outside and then that like sugary, like sticks to your teeth kind of inside, I freaking hate jelly beans.
Yeah, it's crap. I don't like that. I don't like Red Vines or Twizzlers or anything.
No, Twizzlers I love. I love Twizzlers.
No, all that's gross.
Different.
Starburst has the best jelly beans. Starburst jelly beans.
Now, I'd eat Starburst. I feel like that's a little different. But
you know what's weird, though? I don't like a jelly bean, and this is going to be really weird, but I do like a Skittle, which is virtually the same thing.
No, Skittle has a hard shell. It's different.
I don't like the old school jelly beans, the ones that are just like the weird, I don't know, old
like root beer
ones.
The root beer.
No, I mean, jelly bellies are good, but I mean, the ones that don't have as much flavor and they're more like, you know, grandma jelly beans, I guess. Like the spicy jelly beans.
Like boomer beans?
Yes, exactly. Boomer beans. There you go, Cap. Don't like boomer beans. No boomer beans. All right, next one. So Ja'Marr Chase just finished his incredible rookie season after the Bengals, of course, lost to the Rams in the Super Bowl. And you know what he spent his third day of the offseason doing? No.
Working out?
Nope. He was working at Raising Cane's fast food restaurant.
No way.
Yeah. He went to the Cincinnati location to surprise fans where he did everything from take orders, serve food at the drive-thru window, and ring up at the cash register. So I think that was something really cool that he did for the fans, you know, do a little meet and greet. But have you guys ever worked in the service industry? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
Swipe right. Yeah, I worked, man, I'm telling you, when I was a kid, 15 years old, I was working at a Chinese restaurant called the Egg Roll House, and the woman who spoke broken English, she told me, she goes, "You'll never be anything other than middle class." That's what she told me. Her name was Connie. She hated me because I couldn't.
What a boss.
She could not, I couldn't memorize the menu. So like if somebody called and they wanted a pint of Egg Foo Young versus a quart of Egg Foo Young, I would have to look on the menu to find out it was $10.95 versus $7.95, and that was taking too much time for her. So she fired me. She eventually rehired me as a dishwasher. Then I worked at Taco Viva. I worked at Taco Viva because I loved it, because I would screw up people's orders so I could eat them. You know?
You would do that.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah. None. Zero surprise. Yeah.
I'm like, what did you want? You wanted a burrito supreme? Oh, sorry, you didn't want sour cream. I'll put this one off to the side. I'll eat this one later. Yeah, I've been in that service industry.
Yeah, I'm going to swipe left. I've never been in the service industry, so sorry, can't help you on this one.
I have. I bartended, waitress. Bartending, though, made me, like, nowadays, after bartending when I was in college and for, like, a few years afterwards, it made me not want to drink alcohol, and that's one of the reasons.
Really?
I mean, it's one of the many reasons. I just don't like how I feel when I'm drunk, and I just don't really, like to partake, but just the way that people act was such, like, a turnoff to me. Just like,
dude, my best friend worked for a number of years as a, when he first moved to New York, he worked as a bartender at this, like, really nice restaurant. And he says it was some of the most fun nights of his life. Like, just listening to people, seeing people watching. It was incredible.
Oh, I had a blast doing it, but it was still like some of, you know, you see some ugly stuff too.
McDonald's is the worst.
My wife worked at Macaroni Grill when she was young.
My sister met her husband working at Applebee's.
Oh, really?
Wait, yes, I did.
You worked at McDonald's?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do?
I worked at McDonald's. I started when I was 17 to like about 19, and I was like cashier, kitchen, everything, manager. I hated my life.
Oh, okay.
It was horrible.
We all had like sweet high school jobs. My first job ever, I was 14. I worked at a donut shop.
Girl, mine was a swap
meet. Now that's different. I would totally work at a donut shop.
You would eat the whole thing.
I would. All right, what's next?
All right, so Pete Davidson has rejoined Instagram after a 4-year hiatus.
What?
So
I didn't even know he was gone.
Didn't either. I know you guys don't like him, but I have a point here, okay?
Okay.
So he quit back in 2018. He quit Instagram along with all his other social media because he said he just wasn't enjoying it anymore.
Right.
He posted before he shut it down saying, "The internet is an evil place and it doesn't make me feel good. Why should I spend any time on negative energy when real life is effing lit?
Yeah, I agree with him on that, by the way. I don't disagree there.
Yeah, sounds like something Cap would say. But apparently, you know, that time is now. He's going to rejoin. So just want to ask you guys if you've ever taken a lengthy social media hiatus. Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
I have not. Not like in the sense of like, well, okay, I have and I haven't. Not like I've announced, hey, I'm leaving social media for whatever. No, I just don't look at it. Right?
Have you ever like not been on social media at all for like at least a month?
Oh, well, not a month. I think on like vacation, like I took a couple years ago, I was out on vacation for like 10 days and I did not look at it once.
Wow. That's impressive. I wish I could take that kind of a break. I have friends of mine that tell me that they have Twitter for a month and they're like, you know how much happier I am in life that I'm not on Twitter?
Yeah.
And
Twitter and Instagram is just bad these days, although you can curate a little easier, but it's, Twitter's
worse.
Really bad,
it's a cesspool.
I haven't been on Facebook in 10 years, so it doesn't really matter to me, as we've discussed. But I know that's really bad, too, because you have no limits on what the hell you can write. Although, I guess you could do a thread on Twitter. But, I have limited my social media intake and output, even. Plenty. Like, I used to tweet way more often. Now, occasionally, I'll tweet about a game or something I see on a game or something fun or cool. Or I want to shout out somebody, like a couple of my... You know, one of my colleagues at ESPN who produced the NBA stuff left, and I wrote something. And like, but yeah, like I don't spend a lot of time there anymore.
Oh man, I would love to shut it down. I really would.
Would you?
You should.
Would you? If it weren't for your job, like let's say.
No.
Oh
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. If it wasn't for this job, yeah
I would.
You liar. You blame the job. You would still be watching.
I would probably be on Instagram. I'd probably still be on Facebook, but I would definitely get off Twitter.
Do you post a lot on Facebook?
No, not really. I don't post a lot, but I'm on there a lot because a lot of people get a hold of me that way, you know, through like Facebook direct message, you know?
Yeah. No, not me. I'm good. I have consumed way less over time, and I could cut it out completely if I didn't have to use it for work. I would totally cut it out. Like, we have colleagues that don't use it.
Like who?
Wright Thompson, who's like arguably the best writer in the sports writer in the country.
He is.
I mean, there's guys like Michael Wilbon doesn't have.
No, he does.
Oh, he does. Okay.
He does. He doesn't run. He doesn't always. You can tell when it's him tweeting though, or when it's his social media team. When I love angry Wilbon. Like Wilbon gets really pissed when he's watching the Bears or something like that, or like the Cubs or the Bulls. Like that's when you can tell it's totally him. Occasionally he'll tweet stuff about other stuff, but he's got a social media team. But he does. He has a social media. Both
you know
Instagram
who, you know
and
who
Twitter.
Does not. You know who doesn't have any social media presence at all. And yeah. I was always impressed by this, and I always say to him,
"Oh, Neil Everett, our buddy at SportsCenter, also doesn't have Twitter."
Charles Barkley.
I didn't know that Neil Everett. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Charles Barkley is another one. Yeah, yeah. He's like, I don't care what they say on social media.
That's really good, George. That's really, really good. Keep doing that one. I would say Jim Nantz, zero, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, older guys.
He
I
doesn't
get it.
Strike me as someone that would ever have social media, though.
Yeah. Well, Joe Buck is pretty funny on Twitter, and he's been on and off in the past.
I feel like Jim Nantz just is like totally above it. Al Michaels, I don't think Al Michaels got anything.
No, Bob Costas, none of those guys. They're older guys, though. It's different.
They're boomers, Cap.
They are.
Yeah, they're big-time boomers.
They are literal baby boomers.
Yeah. Total.
All right, what's next?
All right, so the Nationals offered superstar outfielder Juan Soto a 13-year, $355 million contract extension right before the start of the lockout.
Yeah.
Soto confirmed that the team made him the long-term offer, but he said that his agents at the Boris Corporation prefer to proceed year by year with arbitration. Now, given the whole situation with the lockout and everything going on, we don't even know if they're going to play this year. Do you think that Juan Soto made a mistake turning down that monster deal? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe left and say no. I think that these players, they want the long-term dollars, which I understand, and the massive security that comes with, you know, a nearly $400 million contract over 13 years. But here's what's going to happen. It's kind of what happened to Fernando Tatis down at the Padres. You know, the kid signed before he had to. And if he's healthy, if 5 years from now, his massive contract is going to be, he's not going to be one of the top paid players anymore. So I'd rather try and do more of a 5-year deal, 4 or 5 years, rather than give up the next 13 years for money today when I think there'll be a lot more later.
Sedano?
Yeah, I would have turned it down, too. I don't think it's so what am I swiping left or right on? What is the
on whether or not he made a mistake by
turning it down. No, he did not make a mistake. So swipe left, I guess. Yeah, I mean, it's $27.5 million. Corey Seager's average deal is $32.5 per year. He's a better player than Corey Seager, so I would wait to sign for more.
Could you guys just imagine being in a position where somebody's offering you a 13-year, $400 million contract, $27 million a year, and you go, no, uh-uh, nope, uh-uh, sucks. That's a low-ball offer.
Dennis Schroeder about that.
Yeah, right. Well, there's a perfect example of a guy who did make a mistake. We'll see what happens with Juan Soto.
Yeah, you could have like a career-ending injury. Like, oh, you could have a really bad year. I don't know. I just feel like I wouldn't risk it. That's just me.
I think he'll be fine. Do we have anyone more or no?
That's it for Radio Tinder today.
All righty then. All right, coming up next, Matthew Stafford and Kelly Stafford did something that was kind of cool, considering some of the negativity that was surrounding them recently. We'll get to that in a second. And did LeBron subtweet Rob Pelinka? All that coming up here over the next couple segments. Stick around.
Yeah.
Oh.
I am for real.
Apologize a million times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Who?
I am for real.
I just happened to hear this song today.
Yeah.
Because, George, I've told you I'm making a concerted effort to get myself back into world-class physical condition.
Yeah.
So I went out for a run today. Yeah. I took a very short little run. Yeah. Like nothing major, like 15, 20 miles. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And I had on like the Super Bowl halftime mix station.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of Dre and Snoop because yeah. I really like those guys because I'm a boomer.
No, we know. You don't like Mary J. Yeah.
And then Outkast was this particular song was on there, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I heard that earlier. I didn't know today was the anniversary. Sorry, Miss Jackson.
Did you say that you ran 15, 20 miles?
Yeah, it was no big deal.
Didn't.
It was not,
you
it was
did
just
not
a short little training.
No, you didn't.
Nothing really major, you know.
You didn't. You just did like six recently, the day on a 10K, didn't you?
I did six on Sunday.
Yeah.
I did five today because I had DeMarco Farr on my podcast this morning.
Yeah.
And DeMarco and I are committed to doing a half marathon together.
Mm-hmm.
So when I told him I did this 10K, he told me today he was going to do a 5K in under 30 minutes, and he was going to send me his data, which I have not yet gotten. So
right.
If anybody wants to get a hold of DeMarco, tell him. I'm looking for his Strava account, or he can take a picture of his phone, his watch, anything.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I want to give people a chance to win tickets. Lakers ticket Thursday, tickets for February 25th, Lakers-Clippers, the first game back after the All-Star break. We always do show trivia for this stuff. So what city in town was the restaurant that Lindsay wanted to go to that I said because of their stipulations on visiting said restaurant that I would never go to? Forget the restaurant's name. You don't have to give the restaurant's name. We don't want to shame them any further. But what part of town were they in? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. And the first person to answer that correctly will win Lakers Clippers tickets.
Yeah, this is all because I wanted me and George Clooney to go to dinner at Craig's with Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
And then Chris Morales sent me a text and said, why don't we go to Dantana's? That's fine by me, too. I have no issue with
Dantana's. Because that's more boomery. Yes, he said.
I have no issue with Dantana's. I love Dantana's. So, George, Jennifer, if you're listening this afternoon, let's do a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So there you go. In the interim, so Matthew Stafford was taking a lot of grief for a photographer falling off stage, right? Like, because if you saw the video online.
Yeah, I saw it.
Basically, there was a stage probably like 6 to 8 feet high off the ground. And Lindsay, I saw the video just once.
Oh,
so
man.
What do you mean, oh, man?
I've seen this thing like 10 times. Like,
I had to take out a
telestrator. You know what I mean?
All right. So, well, if you've watched it 100 times, but let me ask Lindsay first. Lindsay, like, how would you describe what transpired in that video?
I think the best way to say it is Matthew Stafford, his wife, like directly behind him, kind of like looking out the crowd. Woo! Photographer was standing on the stage with them, right in front of them.
Right.
To take pictures. She fell backwards as she was.
She took like a wrong step. Like,
she didn't realize, the stage was coming to an end right behind her.
And then he like quickly was just like, he didn't audibly say it, but he kind of had a look like on his face like, nope. turned around and like signaled to his wife, who ran over like in horror to help the woman.
Yeah, well, I want to just say this, that I read his lips, okay? Because again, I watched it like 100 times, and he saw her fall backwards and down off the stage. And look, the guy was wasted, right? I mean, it was
right.
It
was he was clearly wasted,
right? I mean, he's standing there with a bottle of 1942 tequila, talking to the crowd, slurring his words. He's clearly wasted, and that's okay. Everybody was celebrating. But when he sees her fall backwards, Matthew Stafford says, "Oh my God," turns his body and walks away. Like any other drunk person who'd be like, "Oh my God, that woman just fell right in front of me. I better turn around and get out of here." Or what you could do is you could be super heroic and immediately snap into sobriety, jump down off the stage, and come to this woman's aid. But he was drunk. So
right.
He turned around.
People, when they're drunk, act weird, right?
Now, Kelly Stafford, she, though, right away,
went
she
right
saw
into
it.
Action. Yes.
Right. She went, you're exactly right, George. She sprung right into action, that Kelly Stafford. She was wearing a cape that said it's Matthew, not Matt, and this really cool, shiny blue jacket. And like a superhero, Kelly Stafford sprung right into action.
So the internet was, you know, appalled by this. Which again,
come on,
like,
really?
Here's what I would say, and look, I mean, I'm the type of person. I would have done what Kelly Stafford did, just because that's just the nature in me. But I also don't know how I would act if I were, you know, a bottle into tequila. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think if I was sober, immediately I'd be like, "Oh my God, what happened to that woman? Like, we got to find. Is she okay? Like, and we, you know." But when you're drunk, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know the answer to that question.
Well,
so because I don't know the answer to that question, I would assume I would do the thing that I would do when I was sober. But I don't know. Like the Laura, you said what?
I said he did the right thing. When you're drunk, you can't help anyone. So he appointed someone who was sober enough.
He might have, right. He might have been.
Anybody.
It could have been worse. It could have been worse, right? Like, if he goes down there, what if he, like, falls on top or makes things worse, right? Like, there's other things that could have happened that could have made it worse, potentially. So, long story short, internet goes nuts, like, you know, because the national pastime, I'm going to steal this line from my buddy Dan Lebatard, the national pastime in America now is outrage on the internet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, hey, man, like, I don't know. Like, I don't, this is also why I don't spend a lot of time on the internet.
There's
anymore.
There's nothing he could have done.
Forget about that. Forget about that, though. Like, yeah, let's move past that. She clearly got hurt.
Yep, she did get hurt.
And we hope for a speedy recovery. Let's talk about that part of the equation, okay? She clearly got hurt. We hope for a speedy recovery.
Well, you saw the picture she put out, right, of her cast.
I did not. I didn't see any of this.
She put out a picture saying, hey, look, because she actually, the injury was, I don't know if she fractured a spinal vertebrae or something like that.
Yeah.
But, and then she took this picture. She had like this, like a turtle shell, like a cast for somebody who has a back injury.
Right.
You know? So, yeah. So, I mean, she got hurt. She really
right.
did.
Right. So, hopefully she's going to be okay. But the moral of the story is, and the good part of the story is, that Matthew Stafford and Kelly Stafford are going to pay for all her medical bills.
Well, they put out a, not the Staffords, but there was originally put out like a GoFundMe or something for her medical issues.
Right.
And I saw Pat McAfee, the former Indianapolis Colts punter, I saw him put in $5,000. And they had raised, I want to say, like $35,000 already. But then Matthew Stafford and his wife were like, well, you know, it happened right in front of us. So, you know what? We just won the Super Bowl, and I was too drunk to even go help her, which is probably what my natural instinct would be. So you know what I could do? I could just pay for it all like a mensch, like a really nice guy, George. That's Matthew Stafford, a mensch, paying for all of this, I thought.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the moral of the story. Hopefully she's going to be okay, and they're going to pay for that, which is cool, too. So real quick. On the other side, I want to get into, speaking of the parade, you know, Les Snead had the shirt that said, bleep them picks, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So LeBron, commented on the shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And is that comment a shot across the bowel, as they say, at his own organization?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that, a little investigative report.
Yes.
A Sedano and Cap investigative report coming up in just a moment, but and what you need to know as well. Stick around. We're back in a couple minutes.